One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man, suspicious character.
And
hey, that's happened to Stevenson.
Welcome to Football Daft, the daftest Scottish football podcast around. And let's welcome the team. First, a man who forgot to put his all-time favourite Celtic player in his all-time favourite Celtic Dream 11. It's Chris Toll.
I'm so sorry, Nakamura-san. I cannot believe I forgot Nakamura.
Mate, I just...
And what, you're screaming at me, left mid.
I know.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Where's Gray though?
We can't confirm at this time. All we can confirm is he's no fucking here. Oh my goodness, man. We're going in over our heel grips tonight, my man. We're going in over our heel grips tonight.
To be fair to the big chap, well, no. Do you know what? I'm not going to be fair to him. Right. Well, I might be a wee bit, right? He's got his wrestling show coming up and all that. He's doing Scott Squad, right? I'm doing River City.
Yep.
I've got two Waynes.
Yep.
You've got a boy.
I've got a shoot job. That
you're
doing.
And you're doing Scott Squad or not?
Night shifts, Eddie.
Night shifts. And he's not here. So, to put it, fuck him. I'm not happy. He's not here. But what can we do?
At least we know what we're talking about.
We know what we're talking about football. And this week on the show, it's Podcast v Podcast.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this, right. Stevie boy.
Ahead of the weekend's all for him as Rangers heart in hand go up against Celtic 20 minute Tims. That'll be interesting, eh?
It will be good.
I think
it's got potential for sparks and fireworks, man.
It will be.
Mate, we're 4 days out for a Glasgow derby.
I know.
We might need to split these two guys up.
They're calling it an epidemic now, the coronavirus. We've got that going on. We've got games getting cancelled. Exactly. We've got an Old Firm game coming up. We've got Heart and Hand v 20 Minute Tims. Grado's no showed. He's been a clever man tonight, no showing up.
You're right.
Aye.
It's no often Grado's the cleverest man in a room. cleverest man no in a room today.
So even though Grado isn't here in person, we need to hook up him at some point to see if he's been able to track down St Mirren cult hero Junior Mendes for the Legends Lottery. I'm not going to hold my breath in that one with Grado, but we'll soon find out. Plus your chance to win free beer and looking at some of the funniest things overheard at the football on the big question and the big talking points from this week in Scottish football. But before we get started, a couple of things we need to catch up from last week. From the mailbag, Darren McFarlane sent us an article. Jerry Pellini. Mm-hmm. Talking about Jerry Pellini can win in Rangers to prove that the man is no a myth. We need to get him on the show.
We need to do it 1 week where Grado doesn't come in.
Aye.
Can you imagine it? Could you imagine if we get Jerry Pellini in the night? He'd have cancelled his wrestling show.
That would be so funny,
wouldn't it?
Imagine, like, I don't know, like one of 20 minute Tims or something, was pals with Jerry Pellini.
Aye, I'll tell you, mate,
it's alright. See, my mate, he's going to sit in the. Bring your mate up. Who is your mate? Hold on, it's Jerry Pellini. Sending Grado a selfie, me, you, the two Podders, and Jerry Pellini.
Can you imagine it, man? Oh my god, that would be hilarious. Could you imagine how gutty they would be? Do you know what the best part is? I think I might have a contact at the Buffs now.
Aye.
So it's possible. Aye.
Really?
It's possible. Aye.
Right, Chris.
Yes.
Let's get back. This dream team chat, right? Aye. Get a lot of people. I've seen a lot of things on Twitter, right? Can you talk me through your thought process where you looked at the left side of your midfield and you forgot about.
Do you know what?
Nakamura.
I think it's just.
Did you not rate Nakamura? What? I mean. For a guy who is like, he's done quite a lot in the game, and especially at Celtic and all that.
Well, thanks very much.
You've done fuck all in the game. You don't put Nakamura in your dream team.
Listen, I've not had any abuse for Rangers fans. I'm doing fine in the game. Right, pal.
No, but you're sitting there, you're going through it, and
I know.
You're hot out with Scott Sinclair.
Do you know what? I've answered that question 100 times, so it's my favourite Celtic 11. And every single time I forget somebody brilliant. Every single time. And last week it just so happened to be one of my favourite other players, man. Honestly, it's a redneck, innit? Imagine Nakamura caught wind of that. He'd never speak to me again.
No, I think it'll be in the news soon, I think, mate. I think he's probably heard about
thank
it.
Thank God for the coronavirus. That's all I'll say.
But we had some people like, tweeting in and stuff talking about the dream team. We and David Macaloney says, imagine supporting a team where you name your greatest 11 and you have Scott Sinclair in it. I mean, Scott fucking Sinclair. Great podcast, though, Troops.
Well, listen, see if I hadn't mentioned Scott Sinclair, it would have been a shite podcast last week. No, but listen, like I say, Scott Sinclair was fresh in my memory, and somebody actually pointed out to me, he sent me the stats between Scott Sinclair and Brian Laudrup. And Scott Sinclair's stats for his time in Scottish football
were
about the same length of time. Obviously, it's not the same era. Laudrup's playing against better. Right. Is Laudrup playing against better players, actually? You say like we're shite back in the day, weren't they?
Was Tommy Burns not the manager when Brian Laudrup was there? Did you not have a good team then? Did you not have like George Cadet, Pierre Van Hooydonk, DeCanio?
I bet.
Like, are they no good players?
He was playing against Rico Anoni and Josh McKinley. He's a break.
Right, so on Football Daft this week, well, on Football Daft last week, Chris Toll tried to put Scott Sinclair in his dream team, forgot about Nakamura, and now this week, Chris Toll's trying to tell me that Scott Sinclair's a better fucking player than Brian Laudrup.
Wait a fucking minute.
Absolutely fucking grinding my gears with this Scott Sinclair.
Hold a fucking
minute. Are you good
minute,
pals with Scott Sinclair or something?
Listen, see if I was good pals with
Let's
Scott Sinclair.
Let's see your contacts and your phone, and you always talking to him on the phone or something.
He's not the most famous person I've got on my phone, but he's close. He's close.
Producer
to
Johnny, a fucking diva in this fucking studio now. Come on.
I
feel like do you remember that Walter Smith and Archie Knox interview with Chick Young? Aye. That's what I feel. You try to tell me Scott Sinclair's a better fucking player than Brian Laudrup?
No, listen, at no point did I say it, Scott Sinclair.
You were hinting at it.
No, I said his stats were better than Brian Laudrup.
Aye, with a smile on your face.
Because his stats were better than Brian Laudrup.
Scott Sinclair was playing. Mate, what? You can't compare the quality of football when Laudrup was at Rangers, even like Celtic, the quality of player then, squads, was by far better than what it is now.
Nah,
come on.
Scottish football
was getting money pumped into it left, right and centre.
Remember Sky used to use money?
Exactly.
Arseholes.
Right, so just for the record, Laudrup's a far superior player than Scott Sinclair, right?
Yeah, nope.
Not
according to the stats, Stephen. We'll say it that way, alright, pal?
Oh, fucking
hey, let's move on. So, Ian Fraser was disappointed.
Fucking, what's his name? Fucking Joe. What's the guy you got? Opta stats, boy.
Joe Tortolano.
I nearly called him.
Who do you think it was that sent me the fucking thing? Joe's like, ah, listen to me, man. I was listening to you. You need to nip this in the bud right now.
He's saying he's doing night shift coming out of these. He's doing night shift at fucking Opta.
Me and Joe watching Chile in 5th Division.
Joe, do us a favour. Look up Laudrup for the 90s and give me Scotland Christ.
Aye, but Joe, make sure it's not the good Laudrup. Make sure it's the one that played for Rangers.
Oh!
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as you can probably tell, there's a Celtic Rangers game coming up at the weekend here, so this will be a wee bit more Old Firm centric than the recent ones. So, Ian Fraser was disappointed in the lack of Aberdeen Dream 11 last week, so he sent this one in. Aberdeen 4-4-2, manager Alex Ferguson.
Alex Ferguson.
Goes without saying.
Brilliant.
Goalkeeper Jim Leighton, right back Stuart McKimmy, left back David Robertson, centre back Alec McLeish, centre back Willie Miller, right mid Gordon Strachan, left mid Peter Weir, centre mid Jim Bett, centre mid Ian Jess, centre forward Duncan Shearer, and centre forward Hans Hewhouse. And
that, that team would be
anybody a game. That's the Aberdeen team essentially from when I was growing up.
Scott Sinclair when I get into that team.
I don't know. Wait a minute, hold on. Left mid's Peter Weir.
Scott
Sinclair might get into that team.
What an 11 that is,
by
though.
By the way, that's a side. That really is a side.
That's like a pure. That's Scottish football legends there, isn't it? A lot of the
Hans Hewhouse, mate.
I know.
Overhead kick machine.
Stuart McKimmy, Davey Robertson, McLeish, Wally Mullet, Stratton, Jim Bett, Ian Jess. Wow, that is a good team.
That's a phenomenal side.
David Smith has named the St Mirren team. Manager, Danny Lennon. Goalkeeper, Vlad Glavin. I struggles.
For fuck's sake. Vlad Hardy. We'll just say Vlad Hardy.
Vlad Clav Hadkley. And right back, we've got Paul Dummett. Left back, David Vincenton. Centre back, Norrie McWhitter. Centre back, Kirk Broadfoot. I don't know about that. Left mid, Lewis Morgan. Right mid, Gary Teal. Centre mid, Andy Dorman. Centre mid, John McGinn. Striker, Stephen Thompson. And Gonzalez up front. I know.
That's a good side.
That's a decent side.
That's a good side.
Not sure about Kirk Broadfoot, the centre of your mid defence, but you know what I mean? I'm not sure.
Big Norrie. Norrie was a player, wasn't
he? Aye, Norrie was a player.
Right, so we've got Daniel Ottaviano. He asks, does Scotland throw Griffiths right into the squad? He's technically the most informed Scottish striker just now. What do you reckon?
100%.
Aye?
Aye, 100%.
Listen, like you said last week, man, if they're on form...
I think all these people that overthink these things... I was arguing with somebody on Twitter the day about Billy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. Like... you overthink these things. If you see he's a Scotland match, he's an international manager.
Yes.
Surely your job is got to be whatever players are in form for their club, play for their country. Am I right?
Aye, 100%.
So Lee Griffiths is got to go in.
Do you know what? That's why England suffered. That's why England suffered, because England pick players on reputation a lot of the time. And a lot of them are on form. You know, Wayne Rooney wasn't kicking his own arse for a long time coming to the Indies, England.
But down there, the Eagles and all that, it's got to be the names. It's
but that's
be,
what I mean.
It's not right. But the thing is, like, who else are you going to play up front for Scotland?
Do you know what? See, just for his dead ball ability, I'd have Griffiths in there as well, man.
I don't.
Against England, you know.
It's like legendary stuff for Scotland, exactly. That day, two free kicks. Big time. But I would say, right now, Lee Griffiths is probably the best. Aye, he's the most informed striker Scotland have got. So I think it's a no-brainer. You play him. Definitely. So if you've got any random football banter for us, please get on the Twitter at Football Daft Pod, Football Daft Podcast on Instagram, and just search for Football Daft on Facebook.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Stevie.
What?
I was watching the telly the other night.
Right.
Right, and as producer John will tell you, I'm not a great River City fan.
Right.
I like River City, but I wouldn't go out my way to watch, I'll be honest with you, mate. Right. But I was flicking
through... Honesty is the best policy in friendship.
I was flicking through the channels the other night, and I seen that there was a car crash on River City, aye?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're obviously dubbed up, you're no well, you're in the hospital and that. Mm-hmm. Stabbed.
Been stabbed.
Looked like a teabag.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
but... Handsome teabag.
Aye, so... this car crash, do you know if they spoke to G4 Claims?
Well, I don't know if they did, but if I was them, that's the first person I'd have phoned.
I'll tell you for why.
Why?
If you've been in a road traffic accident and you're not at fault, G4 Claims can make it easy for you. They'll provide you with a complete accident management support you require. They'll recover their costs from the at-fault party. Sort out a like-for-like vehicle replacement, and they'll also organise your vehicle to be repaired at one of their approved body shops and return to you. Should your vehicle be deemed a write-off, they'll recover the pre-accident value for your car and write you a big fat cheque for it. And best of all, it won't cost you a penny, as they charge the at-fault insurance direct. G4 Claims don't cold call, they don't buy data, and once you've processed your claim, your insurance will remain unscathed. The best thing is, Nicole and the team over there won't take your case if they don't think they can help. So if you've been in a road traffic accident or know someone that has, you're on to G4 Claims on 01698 767 172. That's 01698 767 172. Get them at notatfaultclaim.com or find them on social media at G4 Claims Limited. G4 Claims, not at fault claims made easy.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
So, we've got a couple of talking points this week, Stevie, because Daft Arse isn't here. Normally we would have three, but we've only got two this week.
We could just do what we normally do and have three. It's usually us two come up with three anyway. He comes up with fucking shite ones.
You give him his one. What about Effie Ambrose? Yeah, bro.
That was one he's better with.
So listen, the first one for me, I think we need to talk about it, man. We kind of skirted round the story last week, but coronavirus is scudding football now, isn't it, man?
It's went to a whole new level now.
It really has. I mean, Roma have been told they can't travel. Mm-hmm. For the Europa League game. Mm-hmm. So what happens there? Is that an automatic 3-0 defeat?
I don't know. It's there was talk today, they were saying they were going to postpone all the Europa League games for the morrow night, but I don't see that happening now.
You can't do that. There's people travelling to Germany over here and all that.
But I don't know. I mean, Italy alone have cancelled. They're obviously in lockdown and they've all their Serie A fixtures are completely kaput now, aren't they?
It's bonkers,
man. So I don't know. I mean, did they get a 3-0? Is it 3-0 defeat? I don't know what they do with it. It's madness.
What do you do? There's talk in Italy that they're going to do a championship playoff, mm-hmm. right, where the top four go into a playoff tournament. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that will gain them their Champions League spots as well. Mm-hmm. UEFA Cup or Europa League playoff, mm-hmm. and a relegation playoff. Right? Now, it's... they're talking about cancelling Euro 2020 as well.
I know. The way I look at it now, it could really benefit Rangers.
I know. If I was a Rangers fan, that's exactly what I would be thinking.
I wouldn't mind the game getting called after this weekend, to be honest.
Imagine they played it behind closed doors.
I would say if it does come to that, they just have a bounce game at the Hummel Training Centre and we just see what happens.
See who turns up.
Just see who turns up. In all seriousness, but it's getting to the point, it's getting, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the mentality in our country was kind of, oh, it's happening elsewhere. But I think you need to start, it's starting to affect the world.
I'm kind of in the camp where I think if it's been announced, more people have died for the flu. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, no doubt it's going to affect a lot of people, but I'm no shaking hands. I'm no...
You're not doing the elbow pump yet?
Oh, fuck that, no. What I mean, listen, when these boys come in, if I go to shake their hand and they try to fist bump me, they're getting fist bumped right to the fucking jaw.
Fair play, Chris. Right, my big talking point this week, right, I've been getting a wee bit passionate about this. Mm-hmm. Billy Gilmour.
Billy Gilmour.
I just think, I watched him on Sunday.
Aye.
He's phenomenal.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
And I watched him really carefully. I think one pass went astray the full game. Nice. He got man of the match again. He got man of the match against Liverpool the game before that. Mm-hmm. The wee guy just looks like he's fearless. He's technically superb.
Do you know what he is? He's playing like a kid.
He is.
I think a lot of professionals forget how to do that.
I agree. But the whole Scotland thing as well. Mm-hmm. Now, how's he not just getting automatically flung right into that squad?
Like you say, if he's good enough, he's old enough. Aye. For me, I think he should be in the squad purely for the experience of being in the squad, whether they play him or not. But I do think that he should play as well. But mm-hmm. that then brings us back. John McGinn's injured now, right? So if you're mm-hmm. only three in the middle. Mm-hmm. For me, it's McTominay, Gilmour, and McGregor. No, or Christie, Gilmour, and McGregor.
Stuart Armstrong.
He's been playing well. But
John Fleck.
Fleck's having
John
a great.
John Fleck, definitely. In fact,
Fleck's turned it up down there this season. Uh-huh. But the thing is, right, some people have been talking, but on Twitter about it, and they're saying we put too much pressure on players coming through, right? Mm-hmm. We expect too much of them. It might be too much for them. I'm like, mate.
Scotland game's not going to be as much pressure as a Chelsea game in the Champions League.
He's turning up, kicking about with Steve Clarke and bloody Callum McGregor. He's just rubbed shoulders and took the absolute piss right out of Fabinho. He's playing with all-stars.
I know.
He's playing with all-stars. He's destroying all-stars. He's
playing with all-stars. Aye. He's playing against all-stars.
Aye, exactly.
And you know what? He trains every single day with all-stars. So putting him in at the deep end, I genuinely feel this kid's got... He's got it all. I think he's going to be... If he keeps going the way he's going, I don't like getting too excited about Scottish players. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in the past. I'm going back to Steve Fulton. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Seriously, players like that.
Mm-hmm.
And see if there's too much hype and hysteria and he doesn't kick on straight away, then the fans can I get on top of him. And I just don't want to see that happening to this boy.
I just can't wait till his career's come to an end and he comes back to Rangers.
Well, listen, you might not still be here at that point. Anyway.
Fucking shots fired, man. It's Old Firm week right enough, isn't
anyway,
it?
Anyway,
fucking
listen,
hell.
Sorry, getting back to the point, right?
We went a wee bit fucking off-road there,
sorry,
didn't we?
Sorry, I apologise, Stephen.
I've
made a personal attack on you there, my friend, and I do apologise.
Because it's one-on-one tonight. You fancy your chances, you prick?
I don't know. Fuck, I'm no messing with Benny Lynch. Right, so listen.
I'm getting to the later years. I'm like fucking De Niro at the end of Raging Bull now, man.
No, listen, getting back to Billy Gilmore, did you see the Sky News thing today?
Dad, I was working all day today. Right. I've not seen it today.
So man, I tweeted about it. Sky News reporter, right? Goes, we're going to go to Hamden.
I know what you're going to. I did see
you. We're going to go to Hamden here. Scotland under 21s, why are we interested in this?
Aye.
We're interested because of Billy Gilmore.
Aye.
Right, now,
it's ridiculous.
I've had a few folk coming back at me going, IBT had better coverage and stuff like that, but they didn't offer the money. See, for me, Sky don't raise the profile of Scottish football. BT did.
Mm-hmm.
BT raised the profile of Scottish football. They championed the sport for us, I felt.
Do you remember the League Cup final?
9 hours, mate.
How amazing was that coverage? But
9 hours.
It was amazing.
From 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of.
Aye.
Unheard
of. It was like the old days, wasn't it? We were talking about a minute ago where Sky used to pump money into Scottish football. The way BT done that with the League Cup final, it was unbelievable.
It was superb.
It was.
And even just the, like, I know, obviously, Chris Sutton will not be your favourite pundit, but Chris Sutton defends Scottish football to the hilt.
He gets people talking. He's like, he's good at what he does. He knows what he's doing.
Aye.
He knows what he's doing. But he does. He champions Scottish football. He really does.
And he doesn't. See, when he's on that BT Sport live score thing on a Saturday, see if any of them have a go at it, Matt. Mm-hmm. Have a go at Scottish football. Aye. He leaves them without a name. And that's why I really enjoyed BT's coverage of Scottish football. And I know we're getting away from the Billy Gilmore point there. Maybe this is the third talking point, actually.
Mm-hmm. This is Grado's.
It's
he just texts me, this is what he wants to talk about.
That's what it is, aye.
That's just in from Graeme Stevely.
Oof, you dead named him. You're not allowed to do that anymore. No, but genuinely, looking at Billy's career, I'm really looking forward to see what happens, because I feel that he'll be at Chelsea for a while.
He will.
I think they're looking at him as the new Frank Lampard.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's 18.
I know.
He can stay there to... I think he'll be there his early 20s at least. I think he'll be there 22, 23, and I cannot see... I can see him going anywhere else apart from Real Barca.
Seriously?
Aye, on it. He's that good, and I'm so excited. And what you're talking about there, people dissing Scottish football and that, sometimes at the weekend I'll put a Super Sunday on if by chance I've got the house to myself for a change. I get bored with the game it's on. Aye. I get bored watching it. But see this wee guy, he's a breath of fresh air. See, watching him the other day, I didn't miss a minute or a kick of that game.
I know what you mean.
Honestly.
Like player, there's very few players that would make me tune into a game purely to watch them.
Exactly, and he's that good.
Aye, and I think it's for the whole of Scottish football, it's excellent. He's like it's as if he's kind of lifting the Scottish game up as well, strangely. He doesn't even play in Scotland.
And it's like he's been gave his chance, and he's like, right, just give me the ball. I'll just do what I do.
It's amazing for young players coming through as well. Seeing somebody kicking on like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just worry that it makes him want to move on for Scottish football too early.
Well,
you know, but
shall see.
We'll see.
Football Daft's big question.
Football grounds can be the centre of some of the best comedy you hear, and on this week's big question, we want to know what's the funniest thing you've overheard at football. Stevie, hit me with it.
One day I was going to the game, right?
Aye.
Jordan Young.
All right.
My mate Jordan, right?
Shagger.
Shacker. You're familiar with him, aren't you? Yes. You know? Aye. Right, so we're going to the game, right? I can't remember what game it was, Rangers game. We're walking in. Usually you get the odd person coming up, want to talk to you about River City, blah, blah, blah. Good laugh, having a bit of banter with the boys. There's this wee section up the back. Right. They're all shouting down, oh, Chelsea, oh, there's Alex, blah, blah, blah. The game's on. They start getting louder and louder. Then about maybe 5 minutes later, they just all start singing to Jordan. You're just a shite Lenny Murdoch. Shite Lenny Murdoch. You're just a shite Lenny Murdoch. But then our cunts are joining in.
Full stadium being at Wilding.
Jordan's got a right good tan, but he was sunburned after him, man.
I bet you. I don't think Jordan deals well with shit like that, does he?
What about you? You heard any whoppers? Others,
my favourite one, and I've heard it at more than one ground. It's just stupid. I used to go and watch my mate playing at Les Mahago, right? And sorry, at East Stirling it was when I heard it the first time. And they had some cracking like chants and stuff like that. Like when self-assembly furniture, they used to sing it to their own stand, right? Seriously, right? But there was one night we were at the game, and the guy behind me shouted, "For fuck's sake, Shire, there's far too much football getting played here."
That's what, when I picked Bob up to come to the first one, he said he's heard that guy.
Come
on, too much fucking football getting played here, get the ball up, my bitch.
I know, man, ridiculous. Know what I mean, where's my fucking East Stirling Pep Guardiola style. Right, so we had Sam Daly, right, he came in, this is a shout that he heard. "Ref, you're so useless you couldn't track an elephant in a snowdrift."
There's quite a bit of thought behind that one.
That must have been Partick Thistle.
What about this one for Craig Hiddleston? I guess this is a belter. I don't know if I want to see this one. A guy at Ibrox at the Hibs game earlier this season calling Bobby Madden a butt plug for his 5-year-old son, then to ask, "Daddy, what's a butt plug?" I don't think there's really much we can say about that.
No, really. That's muddy waters. You can't really step into that one. Well, we move on to Budgie. We've got Budgie. After Levy Pollock a few years back, Pollock player spotting the ball for a corner. Guy in the crowd shouted, "Oh, you cheating bastard, that's upside down." That's a tough one. He wasn't a happy bunny, apparently, in Sky the corner. Jamie Montgomery. At an amateur game, a manager was trying to give the opposition goalie a ripping for being ugly. However, the goalie's retort was something of magnificence. "Shut it, you. I bet your wife's that ugly she even has to get her vibrator drunk."
Oh. We're sailing in muddy waters here, aren't
we? Really are, man.
Right, Scott Maluti. What a name. It's a belter. Right, just as Ryan Christie ran up to take his penalty, a guy shouted, "You're a cock singing out." Needless to say, he missed the penalty. Great shoot. Pete Bream. Has to be said in a Glasgow accent, but my first ever time at Celtic Park went in was a win. Enrico Anoni was the third Celtic player to get red carded in the game. I think we all know this one, don't we? Oh, I've heard it in a different context,
so
though.
I think he's passing this off as his own story, isn't he? Paul Breen, you're a fucking liar.
I think, right, the story is, he came off the bench, did he know?
He was coming off the bench and somebody shouted, "Oh no, they're an Anoni, on an Anu." Oh no, oh no, no Anoni, on an Anu. In stereo.
Right, back on topic. Stephen Miller. A few months ago, an older gentleman shouting the odds at the Falkirk game. He shouted a lot of funny random shite that day, but the best one was when he shouted a wee daisy cutter to the back post. A lad shouted back, it's a fucking plastic pitch.
Can you do a daisy cutter on a plastic pitch? That's a fair shout.
That's great.
Oh, amazing. The Rockefeller Skank. A few years back, I was watching Leeds v Newcastle on the telly and heard Leeds fans singing,
"No,
I'm sorry, never mind. Right, John McNichol, Rangers. Rangers v Liverpool friendly a number of years ago. Gerrard steps up to take a corner. Rangers 4-0 down at this point. Hurry up, Paim, Stevie, your house is getting tanned.
That's so true. The 1-1-2, score a goal if you get the chance. What a shout that is. Score a goal if you get the chance.
Gosh, yeah, I used to sit in front of Stephen Purden at Ibrox, and because he played a Celtic fan in River City, I mind some mad weight guy chanting to him, "You're just a Tim in a shell suit."
You're just a Tim in a shell suit.
That's it. Shell suit Tim.
You're not to suffer from that.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
Who Knows Wins is the home of social betting, and they are changing the culture of gambling by making it fun, safe and social. If you've had enough of those impossible accas, you can take your mate's money instead and have a laugh in the process. There's no odds, no bookmakers, just you competing against your pals for cash, and of course, those all-important bragging rights. Choose some fixtures, set up a league, set a stake, then predict a simple match result. Home win, draw or away win. No correct scores, etc. And every correct match prediction gets you a point. If you top your league, you win the accumulated pot. Now, we set up a league last week and we had one lucky winner, Russell. One winner.
Mate, I done it for the first time last week and I ended up joint 30th or something.
Do you know something? I'm really surprised at that, because I thought you'd be up there.
See, before I could actually download the app, there was problems downloading it on Android, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all fixed now and you can download it. But before I downloaded the app, every week I was getting 5 out of 6, man. Do you know what I mean? And then the 1 week that I put the fiver in.
Do you know what? The pressure got to you.
I get one result. One I got right, and it was
the
a draw.
The pressure got to you, mate. The pressure got to you. How much did Russell win, producer John?
185 quid.
185 quid plus bragging rights. That's bad.
That's your next 2 weekends paid for.
Exactly. So download Who Knows Wins on the Apple App Store or Google Play, or for more information, visit whoknowswins.com. This week, we have picked 6 games for your chance to take our money with a £5 entry fee. The games are from the Premiership, Hibs v St Johnston, Kilmarnock v St Mirren, Rangers v Celtic. Whoa. For the Championship, it's Partick Thistle v Alloa. From League 1, East Fife vs Montrose. And from League 2, it's Stirling Albion v Annan Athletic. What do you think, Chris, of these games?
Do you know what? See, to be honest with you, I'm going to go Hibs and St Johnston for a draw.
Right, I'm going to go with Hibs there.
Hibs?
Going to take Hibs.
Hibs absolutely hibsed it last week.
I know. I'm going to take them. I think they'll bounce back.
I'm going to go for St Mirren at Kilmarnock. I think St Mirren are doing some sort of magical escape act now, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're playing really, really well.
So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take St Mirren.
Right. I'm going to go for Celtic to beat Rangers.
I'm going to go with a draw.
I'm going to go with a draw in that one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for Partick Thistle v Alloa. Purely because we had Alan Archibald on, and this can't continue.
They had an absolute murder on night, because Queen of South get beat, and they were 3 points behind. Queen of South get beat, and Thistle scored an equaliser in the last minute, but they had to win that game. Queen of South get beat. I'm going to go with Alloa.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Alloa away from home as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's bold.
I know. I just think Thistle can't buy a win for love nor money, you know.
Aye. What about East Fife and Montrose?
Montrose.
Mm-hmm. I'll go a draw on that one. And Stirling Albion versus Annan Athletic.
I'm going with Annan, because Stirling get absolutely annihilated 7-1 the other night after Cove Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last night.
Cove Rangers or some side.
Aye. I'm taking, aye, but their confidence now after a 7-1 drubbing at home, I'm taking Annan.
Aye, I think I'll go with Annan for that one and all.
Right, so we can get the predictions in. Hopefully you're higher up the table this week.
Yes, hopefully I'm amongst the podium.
Yes, so get involved now by downloading the app on Apple or Google Play by typing in Who Knows Wins.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Legends Lottery on Football Daft.
Here every week on Football Daft, we have made it our mission to find out where the cult heroes are now on our Legends Lottery. So far, we've spoken to Hibs legend Joe Tortolano and Dunfermline and Montrose legend Ivo Den Beeman. Every week, one of the team pick out a name from the Legends Lottery, and it is their mission to get them on the show for the next episode.
So, what are we going to do here, Gredos?
Well, I didn't have much faith in Grado actually tracking down who was it he was getting.
Junior Mendes works for St Mirren, which is about 20 minutes down the road. See if Grado has not got a hold of him. I think we should deduct him a point.
Put him on minus one.
What do you reckon?
Aye.
So just Sir John gets the final say anyway.
Aye. But going to the extreme, I'm no fucking turning up to do the podcast, but do you know what I mean? It's no fucking me. Should we FaceTime him?
Do you think he's no turned up because he's no got a hold of Junior Mendes?
Possibly.
Let's see if we can get a hold of him, shall we?
Right. FaceTime him.
Then shall sail! What's happening, my man?
I'm alright, how's he's going? He's doing well?
Aye, we're doing alright, mate. Doing alright without you. We've not even left at your name once either.
Jerry Pellini's just left, you just missed him.
You are kidding
me. By the way, Gredo, see the thing is, mate, it was going to be a surprise for you. But you fucking... We'll send you the photos.
Mate, see Stevie Carrigan for Heart and Hand, he knows him. That was a big thing tonight. That's how I was raging when I sent you that voice note saying, where the fuck are you? How you no coming?
You better ban me up.
I'm no.
Oh, man, listen, I've made contact with Carlo Monte, who's the captain of the Buffs now, and the guy for Heart and Hand organised it as well.
We were going to tie it in with the Legends Lottery thing, but it had to boost after Stevie Harrigan had to go. He had to go and pick up his way, and so Jerry's away with him.
What did he say?
he didn't remember, you put it that way.
No,
so
it to be...
Has he got to come back on?
No, we'll need to be a good while now, because we've already recorded with him. We can't get him back on now.
That's a fucking redneck.
Mate, sorry, mate. He was gutted you weren't here, but genuinely he was gutted. He knows you're a big Buffs man and all that. He came in with like a fucking Buffs programme for a game years ago.
Shut up,
yeah. I knew there was going to be one word that took it too far well.
Because the Buffs aren't big enough to have fucking programmes.
The pamphlet. Oh,
fuck, I've had a bit of a shocker, man.
I know, mate.
Like, what are you saying to him? What's happening? Listen, where are you? What's going on?
I'm fully behind you 100%, mate.
Well, he's wanting to know my Junior Mendes story.
Aye. We want to know all, Grado.
Right, so... Obviously, I was in... Hell.
Have you crashed your motor?
I've had a busy week, that man. I was in my holidays in Dunoon. And I went to...
That's what the Pink Panthers
said. Dunoon.
I went there. I was wrestling in Carlisle on Saturday. And then the next minute, it was fucking... It was Wednesday. So... Basically, then I remember then he got hold of Junior Mendes. So the story goes, man, I put to myself, right, looked him up in Google. I've not been on Twitter for the last couple of weeks, so I didn't want to start pestering folk and asking if they knew Junior Mendes on Twitter. So I thought, hey, I know who'll know Junior Mendes. Stephen Thompson.
Right.
So I messaged Stephen Thompson on Instagram, and I was like, look, here's the deal. Can you get me a hold of Junior Mendes? And he says, aye. So he sent a screen grab his phone number. So I went, thanks very much, mate, Stephen, that's great, blah, blah, blah. I thought, right, I'll get round to texting this guy. Obviously, then I went to go and text him, and then now on Instagram, when they send you a message, once you've seen it once, it's away.
Aye.
So I never got... So oh, fucking his phone
number's
number.
Away.
So then I had to message Stephen Thompson again. I says, look, mate, can you send me that again, because I never got the number. So he went, but I sent the screen grab. So I got Junior Mendes' number. And then, so I texted Junior Mendes. Obviously, the screen might be different now. So I went and sent him a text. And I says, how you doing, mate? This is Gredo. I'm a wrestler and I do a football podcast. And the show we do, there's a part on when ex-players from the SPL, what they are up to now. And we pick a name out of a hat and I picked you. laughing face. I'm
like, I hope you spelt it all right, because the way you've told us is fucking shocking, Grado, man.
No, you're no hiding the room here, Grado boy.
And then when I walked out the room,
so Junior was standing.
Let me finish.
Sorry,
so my task, was to get a hold of you. managed to get your number from Stephen Tomo. Hope you don't mind! Exclamation mark. Is there any chance at all you'd be able to speak and be available for 5 minutes to speak on the phone for the podcast? A quick chat to see what you are up to now. It is a competition each week, and if I don't get a hold of you, I lose. Laughing face, laughing face, laughing face. Sorry for the text out the blue, mate.
Oh, that's amazing. So what did Junior say to you?
He never replied.
So you never got him?
He's not replied.
Well, mate, we're recording, so you're fucked.
Well, I mean, he's just not replied. I mean, what did I do, mate? Well, I don't want to phone the guy. I get the feeling he just picked up the phone and went, "What's this wanker?" And just fucking...
Well,
that's what I do when you text me.
Well, so, I mean, I've got his number if he's want to give him a bell, but I mean...
No,
I don't want to phone him out the blue.
We're not doing that. And you know what? It wasn't our duty to phone him, Grado.
That's correct,
it was
Grado.
Your duty.
You know what? You're not even
so
here.
So then I win, but because I got his phone.
No.
You never won.
You get fucking deducted a point. You didn't even have any points, so you're on minus one.
Can I get another week?
No.
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 I don't know. I mean, that's 4 or 5 hours now. He's not interested. I don't know where
anything's going. They're playing right now.
That makes a lot of sense.
Aye, and do you know what also makes a lot of sense? What? No leaving it to try and get him on the day when he's fucking doing the show.
I know, mate.
I'm kinda starting to feel a wee bit sorry for you here, Grado, mate. I was like, that bastard, he's left us in the lurch here.
I was in Dunoon, I was in Carlisle.
What, looking for Junior Mendes?
That could have been a better story.
Imagine he turned up at his wrestling show in Carlisle out the blue.
I mean, I hope it is the right number. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I've been pranky or anything like that.
Stephen Thompson pranky.
Steve, big Tomo's ripped to James Blunt right out of you.
Imagine he'd give him Walter's number.
Right, Graham, we're going to let you go, right?
Right, mate, I will see you tomorrow.
I'll see you.
By the way, Bob, I'll see you ringside on Saturday. I need you.
Yes.
For Team Griddle versus Team Jester.
No worries.
Just another quick plug for the Griddle's Big Family Wrestling Bash. An afternoon of fun, sporting, athletic, acrobatism, entertainment.
Acrobatism.
There might be a cameo from either the Perrys. So, guys, if you want to come along to the show, bring your wings. There's still a couple of tickets left.
Right.
You
look like you need to get to your bed. You look fucked, my man.
I'm fucked.
Right, take care, big chap. I'll speak to you soon, right?
See you soon, bro.
Love you, mate. Bye-bye. Right, so as expected, Grado fucked it up. Right, so...
I was checking to see if he was still on the telly there.
So he's totally fucked up. So Graham Steveley is now on minus one.
Minus one. We need to get one of these graphics for this.
Stephen Purden is on one. Chris Toll is on one.
Yes.
And next to draw one of the Kinder Egg plastic compartment fucking things is none other than Chris Toll.
I'm more excited about it this time than I was last time.
Right. Here we go. Hold on. Can you hear that? Right, here we go. Right, on you go.
I hope it's somebody I know.
Right, here we go.
Actually, no.
Marco van Basten.
My absolute idol. Uh-huh. My favourite footballer ever.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be him.
did he not play at Stars Park in a couple of seasons?
That was Johnny van Basten.
So, his uncle.
He's also got a chippy.
Oh, you're fucking topper.
Who is it?
The other half of fish and chips, mate.
No way.
Hamish French.
Have you?
Yes. Fish and chips. You need to give me Evo's phone number so I can get a hold of Hamish.
What are those?
With over 250 appearances for Dunfermline and 76 appearances for Dundee United, among spells at Arlo and Cowdenbeath. Hamish French, I'm coming for you.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
It's now time for our Beer 52 match of the week. To win a case of beer, all you have to do is predict the correct score in the Old Firm this Sunday. Guess the correct score before midday on Sunday, and everybody who gets it right goes into the draw to win the beer. You can enter by commenting on the link on the Football Daft Facebook page or tweet your score to @footballdaftpod. Winners must be over 18 and stay in the UK. What do you think?
Well, I'll say is, I got that beer 52. I got the beers. I took it home, and my mate drank one that was described as being mahogany. And I was like, "Do you really want to be drinking wood?" But he says it was fucking dynamite.
Aye.
So I don't drink anymore, but I like to be able to offer somebody a beer when they're in my house. Do you know what
aye.
I mean? So
aye.
Aye, he loved it. But for the game on Sunday, I think it's going to be. I'm going to. Okay. I said it earlier on. I need to say it again. Don't I? Four man this year. Has anybody won the correct score hang yet?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Excellent. Congratulations. What about yourself, Stephen? What do you think?
I think I'm going to say a draw. I'm going to say one each or two each.
I'd love to see a big high scoring one. Mm-hmm. We've not had one of them for ages, haven't we, where it's not been a turnover.
Like them, like the one. Murdoch McLeod scored an absolute roar.
The 4-each game at Parkhead. Remember, Kuzan scored and all that, and Larson.
I'm talking. Remember the 1 year ago, Murdoch McLeod scored an absolute rasper.
Was that 4-each that game?
It's either 3-each or 4-each.
That was a silly one league that night, didn't they?
Ten men
won the league,
and you can get free beer. And you can get free beer from Beer 52 as well. It's a monthly subscription service for beer, which they source from some of the greatest small batch breweries around the world. They theme cases every month with previous themes including Germany, South Africa, Korea, New Zealand and more. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/daft and we can sort out free beers if you cover just £4.95 for the postage. You normally get 8, but as you're a Football Daft listener, we will give you 2 extra free beers. So that's a total of 10 free beers. So just go to beer52.com/daft. That's the word beer and the numbers 52.com to get your first case of 10 beers for free. Okay, so ahead of this weekend's Old Firm, it's time for something a little bit different on Football Daft as we welcome representatives from two of Rangers and Celtic's biggest podcasts. We have Stephen Harrigan from Heart and Hand.
Hello, welcome to be here.
And we've got Jamie from the 20 Minute Tims.
How are we doing?
Not bad, Jamie. My man. Thanks very much for coming in, guys. I really, really appreciate it. As do you, Chris. I'm
yes,
sure.
I do.
Get somebody on your team this week.
Well, it's not right. At least they made the effort. Fucking Grado never did it.
Who?
That's right. So moving swiftly on.
So this week we're going to do something kind of like a boxing match, right? So we'll split it into rounds. Me and Chris will sit and eat the popcorn and just let you two battle.
Go
out.
For it. All right, okay.
This is going to be some buzz, man.
This will be a laugh. Yes. I'm just absolutely fucking praying that Rangers win some this season. So this is, I'm pinning all my hopes on this, right? So round one is the current state of the teams.
Round one, fight!
I don't know who I want to go first. Will we
toss a coin and see who gets to go first? Rock, paper, scissors.
Right,
okay.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, Stevie's it.
There you go.
We won, bro. Right, all right. Right, Sean, you go. Current state. Don't start that. John, get him fucking
in. That's us, we've won already. It's finished.
What, is that the current state of your team? Just won the hoops, that's it?
Current state of the team, win the rock, paper, scissors. Nah, right. So, what do you reckon, lads? Current state of both teams?
Well, what did Stephen Gerrard call Celtic? Relentless. So that's what Stephen Gerrard called on. I think that's a good place to start. I think Celtic are relentless at the moment.
Aye, but remember, we blink with one eye.
Well, we do. We blink with one eye. And
we wink with one eye, don't we?
They wink with two eyes. So Celtic are relentless at the moment. Every day is firing in all cylinders. Everybody's playing well. Lee Griffiths has more or less come out of retirement, and he's got more goals than Alfredo Morelos and half your team combined at the moment.
Oof. This is getting a bit heated.
It's getting a bit...
We've been quite nice to each other. I know.
This is what we're here for. It's Old Firm weekend.
Exactly. No, I can't disagree with that. I can't. It's since the turn of the year, Celtic's form has been absolutely unbelievable. And
I think when you look back at the first half of the season for us, it was near perfect. Obviously, we didn't win the League Cup. But if you took that as a section, you know, our progress in Europe, everything that happened, you would probably say that was a blip since we've came back. It's been on us, it's been on the players. It's not a case of Celtic up in their form. They were always there, we were always neck and neck. We got the victory when it mattered in the 29th, and I think everybody expected us to kick on. We took that milestone. But as football fans, we all know progress isn't linear. We've got a lot of hard work to do. I think the players have to take a lot of the blame. They have to shoulder an awful lot of the blame. Mm-hmm. Celtic are a well-oiled machine at this rate. It's very hard to put a team together to try and compete with them on a domestic front because they've just got more resources. They've had longer to put it together. It's not Steven Gerrard's fault that Celtic are going for 10. He's only been there 2 years, and in the first 6 months or first year he was there, 50 grand of his, you know, wages budget a week was going to the coronavirus in Mexico and Pena and Herrera. So, where we are at the moment, we had a few injuries, but we always come good in the big games, and there's no bigger game than the Old Firm.
Well, that's the thing, you know, we spoke about this week in, week out. Rangers seem to up their game for the big games. But that's a worry for me, you know, because how many big games a season do Rangers get? You know what I mean?
Aye. See, that's what I was saying last week. I was the whole, what Ryan Kent said after the Braga game, and then Tavernier's programme notes, which I still can't believe went to print.
Unbelievable.
Aye, stuff like that. We need to get rid of that mentality quick. We need to, at the moment, I would pretty much say Celtic have won the league, but we need to get rid of that.
Not if it goes to a playoff.
Bring on the playoffs.
That's why he's shaking my hand. Come in here, he's shaking everybody's hand. Trying to spread that around.
I walked in, he got half of me.
And I'm about to have a beer with you, see, when this is finished. Taking you up the road.
Oh no, I'll give you half an hour to stop that.
Full 60 seconds of passion later on, Chris.
So Jamie, what do you reckon then? What else have we got to say about the champions?
I think part of the problem that Rangers have got now is Celtic's form is just so good, and I think the pressure of watching Celtic win and win and win, and then you're looking at Livingston and you think, God, maybe we can get back in this, and Celtic pull a point out the bag. And I think that pressure's really getting to Rangers, because I think there's a big difference between the Celtic team and the Rangers team, and you kind of touched on it yourself, Stephen, but this Celtic team's just full of winners. They know what you need to do to win football matches, to win leagues, to win games. And that just becomes second nature to a team like Celtic.
Well, when you look at it, I mean, I think there's only a few players in the squad just now that have entered into a competition with Celtic domestically and haven't won it.
Aye.
You know what I mean? See, when you look at it like that, winning becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and to be quite honest with you, the only way that this match on Sunday for me is going to have a bearing in the league is if Rangers turn Celtic over.
Well,
or grind out. Celtic are all over them, and Rangers grind out like a 1-0 or something like that.
Aye.
You know, that can galvanise a team, that sort of thing, and kick them on for the rest of the season.
Totally, as I said, like, I think the league's done. But aye, if we win on Sunday, and in London, it's a big if. I just feel like the players' confidence is so low. I think, well, I don't know what's going on, but if we win, that's it, don't we, about 10 points. We've got a game in hand still. We need to go down to Parkhead again. I don't know, but it's a big ask.
But yep. What do you think it was about that game in the 29th that derailed your season? Because I listen to your podcast every time you get a big game. Usually when you lose, I like to listen to Heart and Hand just to cheer myself up a wee bit.
And copies, of course.
I did take pleasure in. I remember there was, and wasn't it just you? There was a couple of Rangers fans that just thought, this is it, we're the best team in Scotland now. We've done it all.
I think
just,
what you need to remember, I see at that point, Rangers were the best team in Scotland.
No, I agree, you know, they were. I mean,
they were on form, they were turning teams over every week.
Yeah.
And it's like Tavernier says in his notes, there was a point there where Rangers were beating teams 4-5 and 6-0 at the start of the season.
Well, that's when I go back to the mentality. There was a point in the season where Celtic were starting up, dropping points, and then we were playing on the Sunday when we were going out and we were absolutely pasting teams. I think there was a wee run where we beat Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
I think Hamilton was one. Yep. It was like 4-5-0. It was like 3 or 4 5-0 in a row, do you know what I mean?
But it seemed to be that Celtic game. It seemed to be that game that you won for that point. That was the turning point in your season, which
I think
was
it was the winter break.
But the split is great if you lose it. I mean, you think going into into that split, right? Neil Lennon was a manager under pressure because basically he'd been outplayed in a cup final. He'd just been beaten in his home patch, and that was a big milestone for this squad and Stephen Gerrard's squad. So going into the split, the pressure was very much on Neil Lennon. The problem we had, we got a lot of injuries. We don't have a good enough squad in depth. That's the real essence of the problem for us. We were playing when we were winning games and coasting games. We were winning them by using a squad of about 11 to 13 players. Once you drop off and once you have the likes of Tavernier, Barisic, you know, Fredo Morelos, obviously, with his diving, that Parquet game was going to miss the next couple of matches. You lose momentum, and momentum's very hard to get back. So, like the year before, the split's great for the team that loses it.
And when you lose that momentum, obviously the knock-on effect after that is you lose the confidence, and once the confidence is gone, that is, I think, one of the hardest things in football to get back is confidence. And I think what you're saying is right. I mean, Stephen, I think when you look at Celtic's squad, they're bringing Lee Griffiths back in, he's been out, your midfield, you've got a lot of good midfielders.
Christie's just come back.
Rangers, haven't they got a great squad? We know you're talking about when the boy Patterson came in for the Stranraer game, remember, he played well, which I feel should maybe get more chance. But then you're looking at Morelos out, we've brought Canberra in, the midfield with Jack and Arfield, then you're touching on players like Ojo, Barker, you're going, they're not good enough, Ojo and Barker, in my opinion.
If I was a Rangers fan, I would rather pull all the wage resources together and get one right good player in.
Aye, but again, then it's the flip side of what we're talking about. We've not got a big enough squad as it is, so if you're bring one player and spend all that money on one player, you're in an even worse position if he gets injured.
I think you're right. I think there is a difficult thing that Rangers have today. They don't have as much money as Celtic, so they need to balance things and try and be canny. And the appointment of Stephen Gerrard was canny. Nobody thought he was going to come at Rangers. That was canny. Then they get some good players in, and Morelos and Kent. And they're trying to juggle it. And I think part of the problem is when you had your lot and you looked at it, you thought this team can win the league. But the league's, as you said yourself, it's a lot of games.
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon. I think a lot of what's happened to Rangers is the expectation. You know, this every season, we're definitely going to win. This is it, 50. And you just think maybe take a breath. If you win that Celtic game, you take a wee step back and you go right. This is a point to build on instead of all the mad celebrations and shouting at the camera.
I agree with the boys.
The celebration thing. I mean, what was it? 10 years, now a decade we've won down there. Everything we've been through. I mean, he screamed at the camera and walked down to his own supporters.
I mean, you were losing the plot over the Morelos thing. That was a gesture to Gerrard. There was a lot made of that in the aftermath of the game that really took away the reasons why the game was won and lost at Parkhead, the way that Rangers set up in the middle of the park, the way we dominated yous. And then you're going back to, you know, the players, the recruitment. Well, you've had more than your fair share of misses. You look at people like totally. Bio and everything else. The difference is you can afford it and you can observe them. You can take them into your squad and say, we don't have to do it. Like Sir Griffiths, he wouldn't be at Celtic if it wasn't for, you know, people like Edward and all. Plus, Edward had like 6 months to a year to bed in at the club.
I mean, we went out in January and spent £6 million in two players and named them again in the squad.
How much you spent in left backs?
I know.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a fair point you're making there. What I will say is, Celtic, if they try to do this Moneyball thing, right? So if they're bringing in a player for £3 million, they're hoping to then sell him on for 10, 15, right? Whereas Rangers, it's as if they're trying to do it, but see, for me, bringing in Ryan Kent at £7 million, you're not going to get £7 million back for Ryan Kent.
He's English. Because if you need to make the Champions League, you need to have an English player. That's what Rangers banked on. We banked on he was going to progress. Now, he's been trained in England, so under that rule, the English clubs need a player for their Champions League squads. They'll drop £9 million at the drop of a hat for anything.
That's a fair point as well, I suppose. But do you honestly think that Ryan Kent is good enough to go in an English Champions League team? Be honest.
No, but there's people like, you know, Richard Wright and all that, that went to teams just to sit on the bench. Now, the difference with Ryan Kent is, was the £7 million valuation too high? Probably.
Did Sheffield United pay for all of them at Birmingham?
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say.
If you buy a £9 million player, you need to have £9 million wages. At the moment, we've not got that wage structure that allows us to do it, so you have to be creative. You have to sometimes you overpay for your nice dinners. You know what I mean? You go to a steak restaurant,
see if it's a nice dinner. I don't give a fuck how much it costs.
Right, so round one's done. Rangers are 1-0 up, so on to round two now, right? Right, style of play.
How's it managed to end up 4-1 to Celtic between rounds?
Who's a ref?
Round two,
Fight.
Round two, style of play. I don't like to start this one, man. I don't know. Style of play. It's a tricky one. Rangers have, like we're talking about, lost confidence.
Is shite a style of play?
Aye.
That's your style of play, then, isn't it?
Our style of play relied on Morelos. Being that physical presence, being that pivotal, you know, being that focal point at the top of the attack, the point, dropping deep, and then letting the kind of free rolls behind them play. And then you had Davis mopping up. You look at the game at Parkhead. Davis basically sat in front of Golson and Katic and just mopped up everything. Where we've lacked, you know, Davis has been off form, Jack's been out injured, and Morelos has disappeared. And when that happens, you can talk about styles all you want, but again, it just comes down to players, players' confidence, players' form, and where it goes from there.
But I think through the season, when Morelos played good, when he was scoring goals, the team played good. Do you know what I mean? See, when Morelos is on form.
Or was it the other way about? Was it because the team played good, Morelos scored
goals? Could argue that,
you know what I mean? When you're saying that as well, like when you look at teams down south, like see like Man City, they've taken on that kind of Barcelona thing where they've got three players for each position and they can interchange them and stuff like that, right? Now, that again comes back down to that squad size thing and the squad quality. You know, see, I'm confident with Celtic. I feel like we've got two or three players for each position.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, some of them are fucking shite, right? But
he hinted. Tell us what you really think, Chris.
I mean, for me, he's no shite, right? But for me, I don't think Greg Taylor's at the level that we need for a Celtic left back. But the other options there,
that's it.
You know what I mean? It's like he's the best of a bad bunch. Mm-hmm. Whereas we've just brought in £25 million for a left back. Why not pay £10 million? For a left back, use £10 million of that £25 million, and then again, hopefully within a couple of years, you can then move them down south and make a bit more money. But the style of our play really depends on that, and I think the Greg Taylor's now being used as a wing back, and he's not a wing back, he's a left back, he's a defender. Mm-hmm. Whereas you've got Ballingolly, who's not a defender, but he'll run up and down that wing for you all day. And then you've got Johnny Hayes, which is some sort of horrible hybrid of the two. You know? That's a good thing. We're learning, they're introducing one or two different formations. We can see if it's not working, we can change it now. I feel like we're wasting maybe a couple of spaces on the bench with players like Kamala. I don't think he's going to make it. I agree. And that comes back to you saying we can spunk £3 million on a player, and he's going to. I think he'll be away by this time next year.
We play the same system as Liverpool, and basically, you know, get your full backs high, get a lot of width from them. Teams then figure you out as well, so you have to do a level of adjustment, and we've done that. But the problem's been, Celtic have went two up top. We haven't really got two strikers you can do that, and again, it just comes to the squad depth. You can only change formation if you get the players there that's able to do it. The formation and style we play is best suited to the players we have. It's just down to the application.
I think the phrase is you can only push with the cock you've got.
Absolutely beautiful.
I know. I think the thing about Rangers' style of play though was Celtic had to change their style of play because they get their arse felt over two games with Rangers. We just couldn't cope with it. We couldn't cope with
it.
Would you not drop Brown, but would you never see Brown getting dropped in order to kind of facilitate a different formation?
I don't think you need to. I think Scott Brown, the leadership on the pitch is massive. The leadership for Scott Brown is massive for Celtic.
Good leader,
point
poor
of view.
Player, but
I don't think he's a poor player. I don't think he's a poor player. I think Scott Brown's a good player. He's not as good as he used to be. He's definitely on the decline. But
he's 36 year old.
Aye, that's exactly what I was about to say. You need to expect that. But I think what Scott Brown brings to the team is pretty invaluable. But Celtic have adjusted, as you said. They've went two up top. You know, I think is it only Conte that's playing with two up front at the moment? He's the only one I can think of. Do you know what I mean? There's no many people. So Neil Lennon's brought this back for Martin O'Neill's time. He's thought, well, 3-5-2 what for me?
I'll talk about that. Whatever happened to two up front, man.
Exactly. A strike partnership was
midfield's don't want to do the work now. You're thinking back in the day, the two in the middle of the park would outnumber or outwork anybody in there. Nowadays, you've got to have one covering and all that kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's all down to the whole ticky tack, I think.
But I think the 3-5-2, it'll be interesting to see what style of play Neil Lennon decides to go with against Rangers.
I think he's got to go with two up.
I think he'll go with two up
because
as well.
I think he'll have learned his lesson from Copenhagen.
Aye.
He should have anyway.
I think he'll go with two up top.
The problem we've got in our league as well is we have such a familiarity with every other team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're playing them so many times, it's such a, you know, a big cycle. Aye. So you're getting to know individual players' tendencies.
Ah, you're absolutely right.
Well, you would like to think you're getting to know playing them. We've played quite a few teams, a good few times.
Aberdeen and Glasgow, man.
Hearts.
Seen Aberdeen more times than family members.
Which takes me on, man. When you're talking about that, like, formation stuff, takes me on to round three, right? Management.
Round three, fight.
Right, so getting back, right, Rodgers is off. He's have won the treble, and that Lennon's come in instead of the ship. What do you think, Lennon? Could you honestly sit and say when that appointment got made, you were happy?
I'll be honest, I wasn't Dane Cartwheels up in the Gallagate, but I'm not just blowing my trumpet, but I could see the reasoning behind it. And the reasoning behind it was, if your options for manager, like, forget Benitez and Mourinho, that was never going to happen. But see, if your options for manager are Chris Shuten, see if they're Neil Lennon level managers, then your best bet is Neil Lennon, because he gets it, he knows what's involved, he understands what it is to be Celtic. You can't get, I mean, we had Ronnie Dial on the podcast and asked him if there's one thing he would change if he got the job again, what would it be? And he said, I would need to understand that you need to win every game with Celtic. So some managers come in, believe it or not, and they just don't get that. They just don't get that you can't lose or draw games.
I think you find that that's because they're unfamiliar with the Scottish game.
Scotland's very intense, but even if you go down the road to England, go to a Premiership game, a Championship game, it's completely different. There's not that level of intensity from the crowd, from the players, and I think, you know, Lennon's the perfect choice domestically because he's been there, done it as a player, as a manager before. He knows the league inside and out.
He's kicked his on in Europe as well.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And that was, I actually came on Football Daft when Ewan was still presenting it, when Neil Lennon got announced as a Celtic manager. And that was one of the points that I made. I think he'll be more sound defensively and stuff like that in Europe. That was the thing with Rodgers. Neil Lennon's got a couple of different styles of play that he can play now. Brendan Rodgers has got one style of play, right? And it's gung-ho, fucking get the ball on the deck, up the park, score as many goals as you can. But that's very easy to figure out. And what you say is there was a slow decline in that Celtic team from the day that he was announced as a manager until the day that he left, and it was a steady decline.
I'll say this.
You still say he's one of the best managers in your history.
Oh, aye, definitely. But I'll say this about Neil Lennon. I think Neil Lennon is an underrated manager by a lot of people, even Celtic fans. I think even now, like, you know, he loses against Copenhagen and immediately everybody's like, oh, he doesn't get it, the tactics, or he doesn't. And you're like, you need to give the guy a break.
He made a mistake.
You need to give the guy a break. He's a good manager. He plays a volume game of football, get the ball forward, be more aggressive. But again, what's the word I'm looking for? He's quite a dynamic manager. He's changed his formation halfway through the season. I can't remember last time I've seen that. Do you know what I mean? He brings players in and out.
I was very surprised when I seen that. I seen that my mate, he goes to Celtic games every week, man. I was like, he said that. He says, well, I don't know, the 3-5-2, a lot more comfy and a lot more compact and more dangerous going forward. And I'm like, I couldn't believe the change, but... I mean, he's matured as a manager. Huh? He can't really argue about his danger.
His apprenticeship was served as Celtic manager. You know what I mean? He's then went and he's dipped his toes down in England. Unfortunately, he picked the wrong club.
Was it Bolton?
Bolton. They had no money. Neil Lennon ended up paying the staff's wages himself when he was down there, out of his own pocket. Right, so see, if you're having to pay for the staff, you know that you've not got a transfer kit, you know that you've got a real deal, and he got a raw deal down there. And I think the Bolton fans still admire him a fair bit because of what he done for the club. Right, he then comes back up to Scotland, takes over Hibs, does a fantastic job, falls out with the owner, and then luckily, right at the time when Rodgers goes, he finds he's sell out of a job. Do you know what I mean? So he's been the right man in the right place at the right time.
So did you think he was the right appointment when it got made?
To be honest with you, I was underwhelmed purely because I think Brendan Rodgers ruined managers for me. I'm not even kidding.
Just because he was just so good.
It was because, see, when we announced, but I'll never forget, see, the day we announced Brendan Rodgers, I was driving by Celtic Park, right, and I was looking at the stadium, and just, it hadn't been announced yet, and the screens in Celtic Park changed. And it said, welcome, Brendan. And it wasn't on the news or anything like that. And I get pure fucking excited because I'm like, I'm the first person that knows about it. Right? And see the whole fanfare, the stadium was full when it was announced and all that. It felt like Martin O'Neill again, but on a grander scale. Right? And it's just, with all due respect, Neil Lennon was slightly underwhelming when he came in. And I did feel he would stand us in better stead in Europe. But I didn't think that he could really do much more domestically than Brendan Rodgers had already done. You know,
but that
I mean?
Takes me on what you're saying about like when Brendan got announced. It's kind of similar when Gerrard got announced, wasn't it? It was like
the fanfare.
Before that, was because he's an icon, isn't he? So absolutely. It was the excitement factor.
The difference is, but you know, Lennon's walking into you know a culture that's established, a team that's established. Mm-hmm. Steven Gerrard had to establish all that himself.
Oh,
this was a team on his knees. It was a squad with a group of players that he had to completely recycle. It's his first job in management, and the pressure's on from the start. Now, his strength at the very early on was his backroom staff and the people he brought with him.
Aye.
That still remains today. I know people want us to be a wee bit more pragmatic or talk about formation changes, but to do that, you need a lot of time in the training part. You look at, you spoke about Conte earlier. Well, the best season he had at Chelsea when he won the Premier League is because he had no Europe and he had all the time midweek to work on them tactics week in, week out. Look at the fixtures since the break. It's ridiculous. We had this winter break and I don't think we've had a break yet.
What do you think about this sort of the way his management style though, like throwing the players under the bus and singling people out and all that? Because even as an innocent bystander, which I am,
as much as you want to see buses driving over Rangers players,
you're watching that and you're thinking, you can't just keep hammering the boys like that, surely.
I think
some of it has to come back.
You don't
date in public though, do you?
If you want to play for Rangers, then you have to have the strong mentality. He's doing the now is finding out who's strong enough to play for the club. Now, in doing that, he's probably found out about three or four players that will play on Sunday that are not good enough in the long term to play for us. If they're not, the door's there. But you can't buy that winning culture in 2 years. You have to create it. So it's very hard to do. So at the moment, he's still working his way through. He's looking for what he was. He was a very emotional guy, he led by example on the pitch. He made a lot of sacrifices in his playing career off the field to get where he got on the field. And I think he expects the same for his players. I think he really struggles when he sees players not of the same ability levels, but players that just don't have the same mentality or a will to, you know, make the sacrifices that he made.
And I think there's a flip side to what you're saying there, Jamie. I know. I think when it's like when players are getting slammed off media stuff like Morelos and other players, Gerrard sticks up for them so much. He sticks up for his players, and you can tell when he's taught. I think the honesty just comes through for him and the kind of that mentality he's played under. But when he's come out of this job, his first job in management, if anybody had said to him, you're going to take a team, you're going to rebuild a team, and within 2 years you're going to have them in the last 16 in the Europa League.
Yeah.
I mean, domestically, it's been very poor since the 29th of December, but that is an amazing start. When you see the state we were in, Kashinya and a hedge arguing if we pumped our progress. Come on, do you know what I mean?
See, if you go back to the point that Jamie was making there, do you not think that he's very selective with the players that he defends and the ones that he kind of like criticises? For example, like Katic's two mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of, without mentioning his name, he kind of fired him under the bus a wee bit. Whereas Goldson last week, he's come out and defends him. Now, you see, if I'm Katic, I'm like, wait a fucking minute here. Why is he defending him when he's not defending me? And then he turns around and gives Goldson the captaincy as well in the next game. If I'm Nikola Katic, I'm like, why is he defending him but he's kind of firmly under it? And that can put a divide in.
There's a hang with Goldson, right? There's the way I see it. Hollander's out, injured, right? Goldson, he trusts him. Right, he's one of his first signings, wasn't he? Or was he his first signing, maybe? I just think the situation he's in the now, and I don't think the way we are playing, you can play Edmondson and Katic. They're too young, they're too inexperienced. I think you need somebody. And all right, Goldson's made a mistake again, right? He's not had the best form, but really, I'm looking at the full team and going, who has?
You're going to drop somebody every time they make a mistake. Katic's mistakes weren't his first. He's still a young boy.
He's still learning.
Goldson, he sees as his leader.
Edmondson was playing with fucking Oldham, wasn't he? So you're not going to put Edmondson and Katic together. So I think he's kind of stuck with him. I think he does trust Goldson, and that's his man, his go-to defender. But I just don't think he can drop him and play Edmondson and Katic. I really don't.
Who do you think's a better manager, Neil Lennon or Stephen Gerrard?
Stephen Gerrard.
I would include the coaching staff in that.
This is his second year in management, so you're weighing that up. And admittedly, Rangers do have a good coaching staff, but if you look at Celtic's coaching staff, Steve McManus, how much has that guy won?
Damien Duff,
John Kennedy, who worked under Brendan Rodgers. I think a lot of people just sort of think, including myself at the start. This is like a hodgepodge of guys lying about the club, and we'll bring them all together. But at the end of the day, they're all winners. They've all won a lot. They've worked at the highest level. Like Damien Duff's worked with Mourinho and all these massive clubs and all that, you know. But people, I think, look at it and go, Steven Gerrard's still the better manager. And that's what goes back to what I was saying about Neil Lennon being underrated.
I don't know. I think you need to look at the fact that they've only played against each other for one season, one full season anyway. I don't think you can really judge it.
Gerrard, I think he's even finished his second season in management yet. Yeah. So
that's it.
I still think he's better than Lennon.
I thought you were coming around there.
I don't think Neil Lennon's going to the Premiership anytime soon.
Round four, fight.
Anyway. So on to round four, boys, before we start rolling about and knowing a good way, right? Best players, what are you thinking? Best players in the Celtic team, what are you doing?
For me, the best players in the Celtic team right now is Callum McGregor and Dodson Edward.
Mm-hmm. No disagreement here, absolutely 100% agree.
Big Fraser.
Edward is the one everything goes through. He can drop off deep, he's got that touch, he can run at players. He's our most dangerous player. Yeah, I would say McGregor as well. McGregor gave us lots of problems, you know, with that run from deep. He times his run so well, and then when he gets in position, he knows how to finish. So they're the two that really makes him tick at the top end of the park. Defensively, you're still a weak, like ourselves, you're not that solid.
We're no solid, but we've got big Fraser Forster behind the defence. No?
You love him,
mate. I fucking love him, mate. I love the fact that I'm sitting across for a midget version.
That's coming right from the midget version of Rico Anori.
There you go, fuck's sake.
You should be sitting there, just saved that the whole time.
Man. You say I want nice or that.
That's a
belter, man. Probably jump better than him, but.
Bastard, man. I don't know, man. Wait a minute, hold on. No, I've not got a miniature Brian Laudrup in my pocket. Sorry, Waz.
Come on.
Oh, big Rico knew how to deal with Laudrup. Come on. He fucking did so. With two different shoes on, too. What a player.
Jeez, I'll say McGregor and Edward.
For me, McGregor, Edward, and when he's at full fitness, and people might. It might raise an eyebrow, but I think Big El Hamid's a fucking magic footballer, man.
I'm looking forward to getting him back. I think Edward's on a different planet, almost footballing wise. Think
you'll keep him next season?
No,
I don't think so. But again, it depends. I mean,
there's a lot of rumours, and
is it a win-win for him if he ends up getting a big contract and told he can leave in another year?
What if the Euros are delayed a year? Do you think that factors into decision?
I think it might do. I think odds on Edward realistically could Liverpool, man. I think he would get into most squads.
Spurs should buy him, shouldn't they?
Aye, Man U, Spurs. But Spurs, like you say, that's a big worry of mine, though, Chris, because you know you want Celtic to go sell him for 30 million, but you just know we're going to scramble about. See if Canberra was still at Hibs and Neil Lennon hadn't fallen out with him, we'd be selling Odson Edburn trying to get Canberra or something like that. That's my worry.
After that goal that he scored against fucking St Johnstone, I wouldn't mind him up front, man. What a strike that was.
It was a good goal, man. What about us? What about your best players in the room, mate?
Best players are most important players. I'd say the best players we've got in terms of Sunday's game is going to be, you know, Ryan Kent, because him and Morelos, I've got a wee bit of a number on you. Just played against you.
Fuck off, Morelos.
He might have not scored, but see the way he ragdolled Big Julian last time. He was the whole pivotal thing for that game. He changed the game. Then you have Kent, who always seemed to play well against you. Always come big in the games. I think Hadji's a very important player, but he tends to drift out of games. The physicality can get him. Aye. But the most important player is probably Steve Davis, because of the job he does and the way he can distribute the ball, the way he does it so quickly. Mm-hmm. If he's on his game, then these games, the battles are always won in the middle of the park.
Ryan Jack as well. Ryan Jack seems to play well against Celtic.
He's a big miss, and I don't think he's going to make it tomorrow night. He's out. So that takes us on to the next, like, the opposition player you fear the most.
Round by fight.
Who do you fear for us? Well,
I'm racking my brain here, Chris. I can't think of a single guy.
I'll be honest.
John, cut.
Do you know what? I don't want to come across as a fucking arsehole here, but there's nobody that stands out for me, man. But at some point...
Would you have said that before the last offer? And obviously not.
At some point, Alfredo Morelos is going to score a hat-trick against us. I just want to score one. Right. It's going to happen. It's going to come off his arse and go into the top corner or something like that. But see, once he breaks his duck, I think that could spell a wee bit of trouble for Celtic, to be honest with you.
Aye.
Who do you play on the right hand side of your three up front?
The right up front, you've got Kent.
Is that Hadji at the moment?
Hadji and Kent, man. Hadji and Kent can I rotate.
Does Kent no play on the left? I thought Kent.
Aye, but sometimes you rotate.
I think the big question for Celtic is, and you touched on earlier, Chris, is left back. Aye. You know, who do we play at left back?
I think he might
stick with Taylor. I think that's why Taylor's getting so much game time. But I agree with you. I think Taylor just needs time. I think he's a good player. But he played for Kilmarnock under Steve Clarke. It's not like they were the most attacking side, mm-hmm. and we're trying to change him into something different. But I think the reason he's getting more time is for this game, one eye in this game. But that's the position that worries me, your right hand side of a left back position.
I think it would be Hadji, wouldn't it?
They'll try and get him one-on-one situations and exploit it down
is
there.
Is Tavernier going to be playing? Or is it going to be a poster?
I hope so.
Probably.
You know what? I understand what you're saying, you hope so, but see Tavernier going forward, he's good going forward. He's a bit of a liability sometimes defensively, but...
The problem is with two up front, if Tavernier's going forward, Edward likes to find those spaces out on the left on their right-hand side, and then Callum McGregor's brilliant at finding space and linking up there. So I think... It'd be interesting to see how Rangers approach the game, because like you say, they only play one way, and then they just sort of, if a player drops out, they replace him, and more often than not they replace him with a player that's not as good. So I think it's going to be an interesting tie, but I don't think there's anyone in particular that worries me.
What needs to be said as well is, yous are struggling with injuries a wee bit just now, you know what I mean, so this could be the time for somebody to make their name as a Rangers player.
You have to have that next man up mentality if you want to play at Rangers. You know, you get opportunities, you better make sure you date them.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Round six, fight!
Right, so round six, troops. What's the score going to be this weekend?
A draw, I think.
Aye.
I think it'll be a draw. Either that or Celtic are going to win 5-1 again.
John, why am I about here? It'll be the Football Daft podcast with Chris Toll.
Chris Daft. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I think it's a toss up. Depends what.
A prediction.
Depends what Celtic turns up.
Right, just give your prediction.
4-0 to Celtic. Yeah, I was trying to be pragmatic here and sitting in the fence, but...
But you think, Stephen?
I'm going to go 2-1 Rangers, but I do think whatever happens tomorrow night could have an impact on the game. You know, depending on how much energy we use, depending on the kind of result you get, because if you get a good result, then you're full of confidence going into that game. If you don't get such a good result, you've got to pick the players back up very quickly again. Big games hasn't been a problem. That's not why some of these players won't be at Rangers.
Aye, we were talking just before we came in, Chris, and that's the thing. Like, these Rangers... They turn up for the big games. That's what they seem to do. It's the other games that have let you down. But
that's a big worry for me.
Aye, but on the flip side, your season could be over by the end of the week. Because if you lose to us and you lose to Leverkusen, then
remember they've got a second leg.
Gone, aye. Right, boys. So to round up the old round for round boxing match, what do you think? We'll call it a draw.
Aye, I'll say three each. Yeah.
Three each. A thriller. Was there six questions?
Aye. I was just checking
them. A three each draw after they seven questions.
One was offside.
VAR. Right, we'll call it a draw, right? But as you know, Chris, every week on Football Daft, we want to put our guest football knowledge to the test, and this week it's a bit of a different wee quiz this week.
Yes, sir.
Since Rangers and Celtic fans are obsessed with each other. More so the Celtic fans obsessed with the Rangers.
I'm obsessed with you, Stevie.
Has he had a beer?
Just wait till I have a beer.
Right, so due to the whole obsession thing, right, we're going to ask Stephen questions about Celtic and we're going to ask Jamie questions about Rangers. So Chris is going to ask Jamie Rangers questions. Right. I'll ask you the Celtic questions, right? We'll determine who is the winning, who's winning there, la la la, who's winning the game this Sunday, right? So you want to go first, Chrissy boy?
I'll go first.
Right.
Be prepared. You've got 90 seconds, bro.
Okay. Right.
And 90 seconds.
You can't pass.
Right.
You must give an answer.
Even if it. Right. Okay.
Right.
Right.
For fuck's sake, some of these answers, you have no chance.
I've got no chance. Right. Okay.
Right. So. Time starts.
I don't like this first question.
Right. Why is everybody looking at me laughing about this first question?
The first question should be multiple choice.
Fuck off. Right, are you ready?
Three,
John.
Two, one, go. What year were Rangers formed?
2014.
Fuck it!
Who's Rangers' top scorer of all time?
Pass. Oh, can he pass? Alan McCoist.
Who is Rangers' most expensive signing?
Tory Andre Flo.
To the nearest thousand, what is the capacity of Ibrox?
48.
What club did Rangers sign Jake Hasty from?
Motherwell.
Who is Rangers' current shirt sponsor?
32 Red.
Who was the sponsor before 32 Red?
No, it wasn't Carling. Carling.
How many trebles have Rangers won?
None.
Who's Rangers' assistant manager?
Gary McAllister.
What year did Rangers win the Cup Winners' Cup?
78.
What country is Philip Hellander from?
Sweden.
Who has made the most appearances for Rangers?
Oh, I'm a coast again.
What Rangers' record league victory?
7-0.
Who succeeded Dick Advocaat as manager?
Alex McLeish.
Who's the oldest player in the Rangers squad?
Alan McGregor.
Who's the Rangers sporting director?
Oh, Ross Thompson.
Who was Rangers' first manager?
Bill Struth.
Which celebrity chef once played for Rangers?
Ainsley Harriott.
And what year were Rangers UEFA Cup final runners-up?
2008.
Who was the club captain before Tavernier?
Lee Wallace.
Is that the first time we've got through every single question?
We've asked every question.
It's caused quite a lot of times Grado's reading them. fucking.
By the way, that was alright.
A couple of fucking stupid
answers. But, as I said, multiple choice.
Right, Stephen, you ready?
You
right?
Your letterbox again.
Right, you cannot pass. Remember, you must give an answer. Right, and your time starts now. What year were Celtic formed?
1888.
Who is Celtic's top scorer of all time?
Andy Walker.
Who is Celtic's most expensive signing?
Chris Sutton.
To the nearest thousand, what is the capacity of Celtic Park?
60,000.
What club did Celtic sign Scott Bain from?
Dundee.
Who is Celtic's current shirt sponsor?
Daffabet.
Who was the sponsor before Daffabet?
Magnus.
How many trebles have Celtic won?
4.
Who is Celtic's assistant manager?
John Kennedy.
In what year did Celtic win the European Cup?
1967.
What country is Jozo Simunovic from?
Croatia.
Who has made most appearances for Celtic?
Billy McNeil.
What's Celtic's record league victory?
13-0.
Who succeeded Joe Venglos as manager?
Murdo McLeod.
Who's the oldest player in the Celtic squad?
Scott Brown.
Who's Celtic's head of football operations?
I don't even fucking know that.
Ian Corrington or something like that.
Who was Celtic's first manager?
Brother Wolford.
Which line of duty star is a Celtic supporter?
Reg from the Bill.
In what year were Celtic UEFA Cup final runners up?
2003.
Who was the club captain before Scott Brown?
Paul Telfer.
Paul Telfer.
Time.
Nicky Hammond.
Right, that's got to be a close one, I would say. Right,
we're going to go through the wrong answers first. Rangers were formed in 1872.
Incorrect.
Rangers top scorer of all time was Jimmy Smith. Nearest thousand, it was 51. Rangers signed Jake Hasty for Motherwell. Blackthorn was the sponsor. They've won 7 trebles. 72, they won the Cup Winners' Cup. Dougie Gray had the most appearances. 10-0 was the record victory. Alec McLeish, oldest players, Alan McGregor.
You just go through all the answers. I thought you got all the answers. You're saying that's the ones you got wrong. I was like, that's every question. Like, I got some of them right.
Fuck it, man. I can't believe you said Ainsley Harriott.
Right, Celtic's top scorer of all time, Jimmy McGrory. Go that rang, mate. Most expensive signing, do you know that, boys?
Hudson Edward.
Right.
Where are we? How many trebles have Celtic won?
5.
6, it says here.
6?
I'm going to carry on with my wrong accent.
Right,
okay.
Right.
One was
during the war, right. It didn't count.
Celtic's record league victory was 11-0 against Dundee. Joe Venglos, he was succeeded by the man who could also rap, John Barnes. The oldest player on the Celtic squad, Craig Gordon.
Ooh.
Celtic's head of football operations,
Nicky Hammond.
Mm-hmm. Who was Celtic's first manager?
First manager was Willie Mealy.
Right, and I can't. Your answer was absolutely class, Reg for the Bill, but it's actually Martin Compston, right? Who's the line of Celtic supporter? And the club captain before Scott Brown was Stephen McManus.
Wait, hold on a minute. Are you no Martin Compston? I'm here under false pretense.
If I was Martin Compton, I wouldn't be here. Right, so, right, so the scores are in, troops. Scores are in. The Old Firm rivalry and all that. Jamie, you scored 9.
Okay, respectable.
Stephen, we are the people, mate. You scored 10. There we go. There we go. A victory for the Glasgow's red, white, and blue.
Sun always shines in the righteous.
Well, I tell you what. See if it's 10-9 and some. It'll be no bad.
We can cancel the season and just go in that game.
We'll just party together after. Game, boys.
Back to my man, Gabe. I have a Celtic tap on you, have a Rangers tap on.
Half and half.
Aye, half and half. Double adapter. Right, troops. Honestly, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A wee special episode this week. Obviously, Duck Troll for him. I hope we'll have a safe day and a fun day. Yes. On Sunday trips.
Wash
yes.
your hands.
Yeah. Fist bump. No.
Elbow pumps in it. Elbow pumps. Love it, boys. Brilliant. Thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate it. All the best on Sunday. Hope you have a good day. Yeah.
May the best team win. Or yes. something.
Aye, Shelly.
Shelly,
the best.
Enjoy the hospitality.
Come on.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notitfaultclaims.com.
Right, so Chrissy boy, we didn't have Stevenson's finest ways tonight. We didn't have the big man. He looked a bit
for the tap end. He was looking a wee bit worse for wear.
A bit tired. He's been to the dark side of the noon. But he looks it right enough, man.
Is that a Pink Floyd album?
Pink McFloyd.
Pink McFloyd, dark side of the noon.
What else to say? Was Carlisle? Carlisle Dunoon. He's trying to organise his wrestling show. All right, but what do you think? How do you think we done, producer John?
You did very well, boys.
Aye.
I can't wait to hear what Ewan thinks.
Who?
Ewan, who's army? Right, no. But genuinely, I've enjoyed it, mate.
We've had a laugh, and it was interesting getting the boys in for the podcast.
It was definitely. Two. Do you know what? Two nice guys.
Very nice guys.
I'd not trust the Rangers one as far as I can throw him, but
it's because he done you a belter. What did they call him?
I called him a midget, Fraser Forster, and he says I was a midget in Rico Anoni. But he should have went with Alec Ray. That would have annoyed me a lot more. Fucking Enrico Anoni's one of the cult heroes that we talk. In fact, Enrico Anoni better be in that motherfucking boat.
Aye, I want to pick him out so I can go, I know.
Well, Rico is, and any chance you could fly it, oh, you're in that way. Oh, right.
No, I've absolutely had a ball this week, honestly. Aye,
me too, mate, me too.
So let us know what you think, troops. Download, subscribe, rate, review, all that jazz. And hope you've enjoyed
you
it as much
what,
as we
man,
did.
Follies in social media, get interacting with us.
Aye, go on Twitter.
Do you know something? We're the best ones. We're the ones that get back to you on Twitter.
We're the only ones, mate.
Exactly.
We're the only ones.
See that great? Fuck it. I love them, but I can batter fuckers. You know what I mean?
Right, troops, all the best. I have been Stephen Purden.
I have been 3'10", and we will see you next week.
All the best.
Audio Frontier.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.